Tonight, we're continuing on in our study in the book of Zephaniah, and we've been considering here the prophecy of Brother Zephaniah and its connection, seeming, well, it's his prophecy that is more than connected. It's directed at the sons of Brother Josiah. We have good feelings when we hear about Josiah. We're thankful to the Lord's for the Lord's blessings upon him. So here we have this prophecy of Zephaniah, and in this timeline just kind of gives us an idea. Brother Zephaniah, being the twelve prophets, that group of 12 prophets that we have at the end of the Old Testament, he's judged to be about 7 or 8. There's kind of, with some of those prophets, we don't know exactly timeline where they're at. And so brethren, like men like Brother Wayne and James Usher, they do the best they can with everything that they can find to put them in order. But it seems like, from what we can tell, Zephaniah is like the 7th of these 12. There's a connection that we've been looking at from Zephaniah's prophecy, and something that is laid out in the thinking of God that's passed on to us by Jeremiah and Brother Ezekiel. And that's the reality of every person stands before God with their sin and is responsible for that. Okay? There's a proverb that's been used in Israel in these last days of Israel, the divided kingdom, Israel, Judah. And the Lord says, you're not going to use that proverb anymore. The fathers aren't going to be able to just jokingly say that they're going to pass on the bad things that they've brought upon the nation to their children. That's not going to be. There's examples that are seen by the blessing of Josiah and his reign. He having a wicked father, but he was convicted by the Lord and reared well by his advisors and touched by the Lord indeed, and he was a good king. He was a respite in the kingdom of Judah when it looked like they were on a terrible, terrible road. We're taking a look at these three sons and one grandson of Josiah. We've taken a look at two. I'll pull this up here and so we can have that reminder. So here's Brother Josiah in the kingdom of Judah. Jehoahaz, we saw about him, he didn't reign for any more than 3 months. Jehoiakim, he has a terrible, terrible thing set against him. He reigns for 11 years, but he's going to be buried like an animal. Just sad. That's just sad. And tonight, we're going to take a look at Jehoiachin, Josiah's grandson, and maybe Zedekiah, the other son of Josiah. This is the end in Judah. This is the end. We're going to see about why it's the end, too. And so, I've used this verse a lot in the past, and it's because it's applicable. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. Now, all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So, as you and I, as we would consider and read and listen and understand and try to get the interconnection of the scriptures and that, let us not just make it an exercise for the sake of education, but let us take what we learn and bring it down to ourselves. Because these things happen unto them for ensamples to you and me. We are here, we're the generations that are the closest to the coming of the Lord and the end of this age. There's been no one closer than you and me today. And it's speaking about us. It's speaking to us. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so we need to learn from them, and may the Lord help us indeed that we would learn and apply, take it and apply what we've learned. May the Lord help us in that. Again, a prophecy given in Zephaniah's day that was against specifically the sons of Josiah. And they had examples by their great-great-grandfather Manasseh. They had examples of Hezekiah about repentance, about seeking the Lord's face. And sad to say, they rejected all of that. They didn't believe that. They didn't trust in the Lord in that regard. And we've seen a terrible end to two. There's one son that's not even mentioned. And so it seems that his death was maybe even during the reign of Josiah. Tonight we come to 2 Kings chapter 24, and we look to understand about Coniah, or Jeconiah, or Jehoiachin. He's got these names by which he's referenced. And remember, the kings that come in to dominate, now we're in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. First, it was Pharaoh Necho, all right, that started off with Jehoahaz and made a transition in Jehoiachin or Jehoiakim. And now Nebuchadnezzar is ruler of all of that. And we read about that last time, what the Lord said he was going to do. He calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant to bring judgment and to ultimately work his will. Remember the kingdom. That Nebuchadnezzar reigned over, his father, and his son and grandson, Babylon, Babylonia, the Chaldees, is that the Lord takes and uses to describe everything that is against him on the earth amongst men. When we get to the book of the Revelation, we hear and we see pictures that the Lord is giving, gives us pictures about mystery Babylon. Okay? And so that's the wickedness that was there. That's the wickedness from which all kinds of wickedness, all wickedness comes from to our day, I believe. And it's a representation of that the Lord will judge. And so he used that man to be a judge to other nations, but then he will judge that nation and will judge the spirit of that kind of work that is against him. Religiously, governmentally, and financially, every aspect, the Lord will deal with it. So it's just kind of another connection, another point of understanding that we can have there. In 2 Kings chapter 24, we read in verse number 5, "Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim," that's the second son that reigned. He's not the second. I think maybe he is the second oldest, but he's the youngest reigned first for 3 months. "Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead." Now, by these dominant kings, Nebuchadnezzar, remember the name changing? Your name will no longer be, it will now be this. Refer to yourself that way, answer to it when you're spoken to, and if you give your name out to anybody, you say that that's your name, okay? And so this name changing thing continues on. "And the king of Egypt came not again any more out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates, way up to the northeast, all that pertained to the king of Egypt," just like God said. Verse number 8, "Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of El Nathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. So he followed right in the steps of Jehoiakim. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon the king of Israel had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And verse 14, and he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths and 1,000, and all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. So this is where we go from the grandson reigning back to his uncle or brother or the last son of Josiah that would reign as a puppet king under Nebuchadnezzar. So we see here that Jehoiachin did in some respect yield and come out to Nebuchadnezzar. He did come out rather than fighting to the end and fighting to the death. But we saw early on, when he was 18 years old, he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He pursued after wickedness, not to change and to direct his heart to the obedience of the Lord, but to wickedness, even though the Lord had pronounced what he had upon he and his brothers. And so he goes off to Babylon. Now, this is the line in Judah, and this is the farthest the line of kings in Judah extends. And this is the end of the kingship, if you will, in Judah for this time. But there's a miraculous thing that happens to Jehoiachin when it looks like it's over, and a captive is usually, we would think of a captive being restrained. We saw about his father and the way that he was treated. We saw about his uncle, Jehoahaz, the way he was put in bonds and then taken off to Egypt where he died there. And the thinking would be is that he would be in that kind of bondage. He wouldn't be able to have a household. He would not be at liberty. He would not be able to be with his wife or anything such as that. That would be the typical enslavement by one king to those that they would captive. But we read something very interesting over in Jeremiah chapter 52. And so let's take a look over there, Jeremiah chapter 52. And let's read here what the Lord and his plan and his graciousness did with this last king of the nation of Judah. In Jeremiah 52, we pick it up in verse number 31. And it came to pass in the 7th and 13th year of the captivity. So did you get that? The 7th and 30th year, 37 years he's captive. the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 5 and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. Oh, so he was captive in prison. Now remember, everybody in his household went with him. And we understand that at that point he had no children. And Nebuchadnezzar's son takes and brings him up out of prison and spake kindly unto him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon and changed his prison garments. And he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Taken from prison, taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, 30 plus years in captivity, and then taken and lifted up to an estate to where he could, he was still captive, but he could have his own household and no doubt have his own family with him. Because we turn to the book of Matthew and we read this. This is the lineage of Joseph, Mary's husband, not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ, but certainly the stepfather of the Lord Jesus Christ, as was supposed, the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read this in verse number 10. And Ezekias begat Manasseh, King Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, who was a wicked king too, and Ammon begat Josiah, and Josiah begat Jeconias and his brethren, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. So that's telling us that there's no children until he goes to Babylon, is in prison for 31 years, and then the Lord blesses to bring him out, even to where he can have his household and family, and the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ through Joseph, his stepfather, continues on until Christ Jesus. It's miraculous. It could never be figured out or thought to be done by men. But it was sure done by the Lord, wasn't it? And so the mercy of the Lord, you know, the mercy of the Lord loves mercy and he's abundant in mercy. The Lord loves to be merciful. He likes to dish out mercy. Was Jehoiachin repentant? I would like to think that he was. I don't know. His grandfather, great-grandfather Manasseh was repentant. Maybe he had time in 31 years to think about that. If you and I, if we repent, the Lord will be merciful to us. So we don't know why from the standpoint of Jehoiachin, but we know the Lord was merciful and brought to pass a great, great blessing there. You know, like we were saying, like I preached Sunday morning, if it were not for the Lord's outstretched hands and the things that he's done all down the line through the millennia, you and I would not be here today. But he has. And we are. And may God help us that we would submit ourselves to him, listen to him, obey him, and be warned by the evil, the things that he proclaims unto wicked men, and that we would see that when they do turn, the Lord is a merciful God. When we turn, the Lord is a merciful God. He is. We go back to 2 Kings chapter 24. And so we see about Jehoiachin being carried off and the Lord's blessing for his lineage. And then we see here, and where we read, let's read verse number 17 again of chapter 24. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah his father's brother. Okay, so this is speaking about Jehoiachin's father's brother. So his father is Jehoiakim and his brother Mattaniah. And so he made Mattaniah, his father's brother, to reign in his stead and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. So he followed right after his brother. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out of his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So here, what was it that was proclaimed? If you'll submit, you'll get to live in your own land. No, but Zedekiah was having none of that. He was going to do it his own way. So we come on to chapter 25, and we read this. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, of Zedekiah's reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged in the 11th year of King Zedekiah. Siege, siege for 2 years. Bitter siege. There's prophecy about how these sieges are and how terrible that they are when the city is cut off. It's just terrible. And the wicked hearts of the people and what they would resort to survive. And the city was besieged in the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. The city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. Rather than submit, he ran. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. So that's to the east, going towards Jordan, right? The place where the children of Israel entered into the land. And all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And they gave judgment upon him. Why? He rebelled. He would not submit as the Lord sent word for them to submit. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Indescribable grief. Here it is that a father brought the judgment of his sins upon his own sons. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah. See, there's an element here. How many times has Nebuchadnezzar tried to let these people rule themselves? Once? Twice? Three times? Four? He's sick and tired of it. He's sick and tired of it. It's done. It's done. They're not going to be able to be a nation, even under the control as it is. They're not going to be able to be a nation with their own king and their own ways, living in their own places and all that. like the Lord said, if they would submit, they could stay right there at home. But because of this rebellion, Nebuchadnezzar is going to put an end to it, going to make an example out of Zedekiah, and they slay his sons before his eyes, and that's the last thing he remembers seeing before they gouge out his eyes. They bound him with fetters, it says, of brass, and carried him to Babylon. It goes on to say, and in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of the king Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, to Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. But had they not rebelled, they would have been able to stay. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon, with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuchadnezzar Dan, the captain of the guard, carry away captivity. And it could be very well in this time or the previous time that Brother Daniel was taken captive. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen, and the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. Remember how the Lord had told in the case of one of these that, you know, and the prophet said, if you want to pray for something, pray that the Lord will bless, that these things will be able to be kept here. But they won't be. He took them away. And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold, and of silver in silver, the captain of the guard took away. And the two pillars, one sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapiter upon it was brass, and the height of the chapiter 3 cubits, and the wreathen work, and the pomegranates upon the chapiter round about, all of brass. And like unto these had the second pillar with wreathen work. And the captain of the guard took Syria, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three keepers of the door. And out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and 5 men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon in Riblah, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. What a terrible, terrible thing. What a sad affair, isn't it? All because those three sons and grandson did not listen to the word of the Lord that he sent unto them. The word of God sent to them. The Lord warned them. And that's what the Lord does, is he warns. And when he warns, his expectation is for sinners, for us to repent, to believe him, to seek his face, because he loves to be merciful. But without repentance, with a wicked heart and a wicked way, there will be no help. There's no escape from the Lord. It's kind of like Elijah. Remember how Elijah mocked the priest of Baal when they were there for the big sacrifice? Remember how he said, perhaps he's asleep and you just can't wake him up, speaking about Baal. Or maybe he's on a journey. He's on vacation and you just can't reach him. You know, it seems like there can be a thinking like that amongst men today. That God doesn't care about me. He's off somewhere else doing something great and bigger, and I'm just small peas. Nope. He's keeping track of everybody, especially his children. He's keeping track of us. So here we see in this, that Zephaniah prophesied in Zephaniah 1:8, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. And so he has indeed brought it to pass, hadn't he? And his sons, the sons of Zedekiah. Let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 52. Jeremiah chapter 52, and let's read something here. Again in this chapter, earlier in the chapter. Verse number 7. Let's read what it says here. Jeremiah 52, verse number 7. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of the war fled, like we read, and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. And they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Does it sound familiar? Yeah, it's the same account. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and slew also all the princes of Judah in Riblah. And he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. And you realize his captivity overlapped the captivity of his nephew. And then however long he lived, which was probably before his nephew, the nephew after that by evil Merodach was raised up. Now there's a little bit of speculation there, but all things being equal and the difference of the generations, that could very well be the case. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we'll close for tonight. Here we have, some would say, well, why? Why? You know, that's a big question that we have, right? Why? Well, we've seen why. You know, we've read enough to know why. But here's maybe a little bit more information and a summary of how this went. 2 Chronicles 36, verse number 1. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. And Jehoahaz, that first son, yet the youngest, but the first son to reign, was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and talents of gold. Verse 4, and the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in feathers to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord of Babylon, and he put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. And Jehoiachin, the grandson, was 8 years old, grandson of Josiah, when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. So we see here about his age when he was taken captive. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, Zedekiah did, in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. Isn't that interesting? He made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Stiff necks and hard hearts will not be blessed nor rewarded by God. Mark it down. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations, all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. You see the picture of that as Nebuchadnezzar was taking everything, every last thing apart, his captain that Brother Solomon had built. Remember how glorious it was in that day that it was built? Remember the prayer that Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple? Remember the Shekinah glory that the scripture tells us about coming down? That very place was parted up, pieced up, and hauled off to a heathen temple in Babylon. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Verse 15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, hear that? Prophet after prophet after prophet. At Zephaniah, we're on prophet 7 or 8, warning and telling. May the Lord help us to understand we need to believe what God says in his word. Rising up betimes and sending. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God. They made fun of them. They ridiculed them. They said what they said was not true and not from God. And despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Are you ready? Till there was no remedy. You know, we've seen it before. We see it one more time. It gets to a point that the Lord just gets tired of it. It got to the point that there was no remedy. No remedy. It's sad, isn't it? Until there was no remedy. May the Lord help us. If you're here and you're not saved, hear the word of the Lord. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him. Child of God, if you're wayward, when we are wayward, repent and turn from that wicked way. Put that behind us and turn unto the Lord. Because the Lord's keeping track. And the Lord gets to a point that there's no more remedy. The Lord warns like that in the church of Corinth, doesn't he? He said, there are those there in the case that was mentioned, not discerning the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that some were sick, some were weak, and some were dead in the church. And so let us be warned. These things are written for our examples. They're written for our examples. We're right here near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us that our hearts be right before him.